Be not conformed to this world. Circa 1894. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, 7. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises for him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. The Lord hath set apart him that is godly to himself. This consecration to God and separation from the world is plainly and positively enjoined in both the Old and New Testaments. There is a wall of separation which the Lord himself has established between the things of this world and those whom he has chosen out of the world and sanctified unto himself. The calling and character of God's people are peculiar, their prospects are peculiar, and these peculiarities distinguish them from all other people. The same injunctions that rested upon ancient Israel to be separate and distinct from the world rest upon God's people now. How frequently ancient Israel rebelled, and how often they were visited with judgments because they would not heed the commands of God. The Israel of God in these last days are in constant danger of mingling with the world and losing all signs of being the chosen people of God. Paul writes, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Titus 2, verse 11 to 14. We are here brought down to the last days, when God is purifying to himself a peculiar people. Shall we provoke him as did ancient Israel? Shall we bring his wrath upon us by departing from him and mingling with the world, following the abominations of the nations round us? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James 4, verse 4, 1:27. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. John 17, verse 14, 15. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. What a promise is this! But let us not lose sight of the fact that it is based upon obedience to the command, come out from among them. God calls upon you to separate from the world, you not to follow its practices, nor conform to it in your course of action in any respect. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. God calls for separation from the world. Will you obey? Will you come out from among them and remain separate and distinct from them? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. You cannot mingle with worldlings and partake of their spirit and be at the same time a child of God. The Creator of the universe addresses you as an affectionate father. If you separate from the world in your affections and remain free from its contamination, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, God will be your father. He will adopt you into his family and make you his heir. In place of the world, he will give you for a life of obedience the kingdom under the whole heavens. He will give you an eternal weight of glory and a life that is as enduring as eternity. A profession of Christianity is nothing in the sight of God, but true, humble, willing obedience to His requirements designates the children of His adoption, the recipients of His grace, the partakers of His great salvation. Such will be peculiar, a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. Their peculiar, holy character will be discernible and will distinctly separate them from the world, from its affections and lusts. But few among us answer this description. The love of many for God is in word, not in deed and in truth. Their course of action, their works, testify of them, that they are not children of light, but of darkness. Their works have not been wrought in God, but in selfishness, in unrighteousness. Their hearts are strangers to His renewing grace. They have not experienced the transforming grace that leads them to walk even as Christ walked. Those who are living branches of the heavenly vine will partake of the sap and nourishment of the vine. They will not be withered, and fruitless branches of the heavenly vine will partake of the sap and nourishment of the vine. They will not be withered, and fruitless branches, but will show life and vigor, and will flourish and bear fruit to the glory of God. They will be careful to depart from all iniquity and to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Like ancient Israel, the church has dishonored her God by departing from the light, neglecting her duties, and abusing her high and exalted privilege of being holy and peculiar in character. Her members have violated their covenant to live for God and Him only. They have joined with the selfish and worldly loving. Pride, the love of pleasure, and sin has been cherished, and Christ has departed. His spirit has been quenched in the church. Satan works side by side with professed Christians, yet they are so destitute of spiritual discernment that they do not detect him. They have not the burden of the work. The solemn truths they profess to believe are not a reality to them. They have not genuine faith. Men and women will act out the faith which they in reality possess. By their fruits ye shall know them. Not their profession, but the fruit they bear, shows the character of the tree. Many have a form of godliness. Their names are on the church record, but they have a spotted record in heaven. The recording angel has faithfully written down their deeds. Every selfish act, every wrong word, every unfulfilled duty, and every secret sin, with every artful dissembling, is faithfully chronicled in the books of records. Very many who profess to be children of Christ are none of His. They are deceiving their souls to their own destruction. While they profess to be servants of Christ, they are not living in obedience to His will. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Romans 6, verse 16. Many, professing to be servants of Christ, are obeying another master, working daily against the master whom they profess to serve. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6, verse 24. Earthly and selfish interests engage the soul, mind, and strength of God's professed followers. To all intents and purposes, they are servants of mammon. They have not experienced a crucifixion to the world. Few among those who profess to be Christ's followers can say in the language of the Apostle, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, but whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 6, verse 14, 2:20. If willing obedience and true love characterize the lives of the people of God, their light will shine to the world with a holy brightness. The words which Christ addressed to His disciples were designed for all who should believe on His name. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Matthew 5, verse 13. A profession of godliness without the living principle is as utterly valueless as salt without its saving properties. An unprincipled Christian is a byword, a reproach to Christ, a dishonor to his name. "Ye are the light of the world," he said. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candlestick and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Verses 14-16. The good works of God's people have a more powerful influence than words. By their virtuous life and unselfish acts, the beholder is led to desire the righteousness which produces such good fruit. He is charmed with the power which transforms selfish human beings into the divine image, and God is honored, his name is glorified. But the Lord is dishonored and his cause reproached by his people being in bondage to the world. They are in friendship with the world, the enemies of God. Their only hope of salvation is to separate from the world and zealously maintain their holy, peculiar character. Oh, why will not God's people comply with the conditions laid down in his word? If they would do this, they would not fail to realize the excellent blessings freely given of God to the humble and obedient. If they would only keep themselves in his love and separate from the world, he would cause his special blessings to rest upon them and his light to shine round about them. Their influence for good might be felt in every branch of the work, in every part of the gospel field.